The number of mergers and acquisitions is rising, and analysts expect this trend to continue as businesses demonstrate greater confidence in economic recovery and prepare for a return to growth. ACE recognizes that the legal and regulatory environment is changing, and we're responding with practical solutions. In this podcast, we will provide dealmakers with a roadmap to assist them in the risk identification process and discuss M&A insurance solutions. Most important, we'll explain why a coordinated approach to managing the inherited risks and liabilities of a merger, acquisition, or divestiture is a best practice.
That's Seth Gilston, Senior Vice President of ACE Financial Solutions. He's one of our guests today as we discuss merger and acquisition risk management, avoiding pitfalls and finding solutions on the ACE USA podcast. I'm your host, Steve Lubetkin. In this podcast, Seth Gilston, William Hazelton, and Scott Meyer will examine mergers and acquisitions and related insurance considerations. To begin, the team will outline the questions dealmakers should consider prior to closing an M&A transaction to help identify potential liabilities. Then they'll talk about environmental and directors and officers liability and key coverage concerns as they relate to M&A deals. As we delve into the topic even more, they'll discuss the critical functions of an M&A deal and the importance of working with an insurance partner that is equipped to handle unique challenges as they emerge. Finally, the team will discuss the post-closing process and guide dealmakers through a post-closing analysis of the transaction. First, to introduce today's speakers, Seth Gilston is Senior Vice President of ACE Financial Solutions and leads ACE USA's mergers and acquisitions industry practice. Bill Hazelton is Executive Vice President of ACE Environmental Risk, which is the U.S.-based retail environmental operation of the ACE Group. And rounding out the panel, Scott Meyer is Executive Vice President of ACE Professional Risk. Seth, Bill, and Scott, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Glad to be here.
Happy to participate.
Seth, why don't you start by talking about the factors that have contributed to the steep hike in M&A activity and deals and tell a little bit about how this is playing out in the U.S. market.
Sure, be glad to. The volume of both private equity transactions and strategic deals has risen over the past 6 months, and analysts expect the revitalized M&A environment to continue through 2011. If you've been reading business news, you've likely come across articles on the topic. Some contributing factors cited include the significant rise in CEO confidence, an easing of lending terms. Companies that hunkered down and hoarded cash during the recession are now seeking to invest some of this capital. In many cases, that means they are looking for strategic mergers and acquisitions as a means to achieving their growth objectives.
So what does this activity mean from an insurance and risk management standpoint?
With M&A activity now returning to historical norms, the regulatory and legal landscape has dramatically changed. There's greater potential for unseen or underappreciated risks. Some of these could actually undermine a seemingly sound merger acquisition. What we see is that in the stressed timelines to close transactions, due diligence is often compressed and compromised. When that happens, there is greater potential of not fully identifying the target company's historical and ongoing liabilities.
So what kinds of liabilities are involved here?
Significant ones. They include known and unknown legal, regulatory, environmental, casualty, and management liabilities, among other prospective and retrospective exposures.
So what happens following a merger acquisition, Seth?
Of course, every deal is different, but following a merger or acquisition, the buyer, either a company or private equity firm, may consciously or unconsciously absorb the liabilities of the acquired entity. If the company has acquired numerous organizations through the years, these successor liabilities can be daunting from a risk management standpoint. And to make matters even more challenging, the acquired company's insurance policies may either cease to provide coverage or convert into a runoff model, essentially providing coverage for a short period of time.
It's kind of interesting, Seth. Can you talk a little bit about how this affects the insurance and risk management coverage for the buyers and sellers of a company?
If successor liabilities are not identified, assessed, and mitigated, they can create latent issues for the acquirer. They may also create surprises that were not accounted for in the purchase and sale agreement.
Well, it's certainly a lot to think about, but why don't we take a minute, Seth, and try to look on the positive side. Tell us a little bit about what kind of insurance solutions are out there for companies involved in M&A transactions.
Fortunately, there are some very good insurance products available. Acquirers or sellers may want to consider obtaining retroactive limits of liability in order to bolster the financial protection offered by the target company's insurance policies. They may also want to consider including a loss portfolio transfer, or an LPT, which is a retroactive insurance program transferring uncertain future payment obligation. related to past known liabilities from discontinued businesses or current operations to the specialized M&A insurer.
How does that exactly work?
An LPT can be structured to absorb the financial liabilities of the deductible within the target company's insurance policies. For casualty claims in the primary layer, an LPT is considered especially ideal.
Seth, what are some of the other insurance risk transfer solutions available?
Other risk transfer solutions addressing M&A liabilities can include umbrella and excess casualty insurance. There are generally a number of questions about future liabilities arising from the target company's products. For example, products currently in the stream of commerce or products that were discontinued years before that may still pose potential liabilities. We think there are some important questions to ask. Will the target company's product liability insurance address these future liabilities? Do gaps exist in the insurance coverage? Do the terms and conditions of the contract permit the insurer to rescind coverage or deny a claim for late notice? Are the financial limits sufficient to absorb the extent of potential losses? Is the insurance policy with a financially sound insurance carrier one that will be solvent in the future to pay claims?
Thanks very much, Seth. And now let's turn to Bill Hazelton and take a look at some other key coverages. Bill, we've heard a lot about increasingly strict federal environmental regulations. How is this increased regulation going to affect M&A transactions, and does it contribute to greater liability exposures in the environmental area?
Well, Steve, in some cases, the acquiring company may inherit the target's pollution exposures. This could mean going back through many decades of operations, including the target company's previous mergers and acquisitions, or they may be the result of previously unregulated practices that have since been saddled with associated retroactive liability. In either case, these successor liabilities challenge even the most thorough due diligence. They present the risk of tremendous financial liabilities and could actually derail the party's expectations on both sides of a deal.
It sounds pretty serious. Tell us a little bit more about it and about what other kinds of environmental liabilities companies can face.
Environmental liabilities can involve a broad range of perils, including pollution, contamination, mold, hazardous waste, and toxic chemicals in water, air, or land. Identifying these exposures, then assembling an effective risk finance or insurance strategy to finance or transfer the potential liabilities is a vital element of the M&A transaction process.
So in an environmental context, Bill, I'll ask you the same question I asked Seth. What are the insurance products that are available for companies involved in M&A transactions?
It's important to understand that there can be material coverage voids created by pollution exclusions in general liability products held by the acquired company and its legal predecessors. To fill this void and to protect against financial exposure to pollution losses, the insurance industry created environmental-specific insurance products that can be used strategically in the M&A process. Premises pollution liability, or PPL, insurance should be considered in transactions as it can provide coverage for first-party on-site and off-site environmental cleanup and remediation, along with third-party liabilities arising from lawsuits brought by others for bodily injury, property damage, or environmental cleanup. The scope of the first-party cleanup protection and the third-party liability protection offered by PPL coverage can be tailored to the needs of the acquiring company, including exposures related to sudden accidental or gradual pollution.
Are there any other insurance solutions people need to think about for environmental liabilities?
Yes. Here's another important consideration. A target company's environmental-specific policies typically will expire following the close of a merger and acquisition transaction or be placed in a runoff mode. It's imperative for acquirers to address these voids with new policies before the deal is closed. There are other risk considerations that acquiring companies must address, such as the possibility of cost overruns incurred during a pollution cleanup. Specialized M&A insurance carriers can provide this through remediation cost containment insurance. By boxing in projected environmental cleanup costs, the coverage mitigates the financial uncertainty of acquiring an environmentally distressed asset and preparing for its redevelopment or sale.
Let's take a look now at directors and officers' liability. Scott, are directors and officers going to have adequate coverage in a merger and acquisition transaction?
Steve, securities class actions represent some of the most costly and complex cases against directors and officers. And M&A activity is a key driver of securities class actions. In fact, in 2010, there were 40 securities class actions relating to mergers and acquisitions, in contrast to only 9 in 2009. So we may see more increases in these cases given the continued rise in M&A activity.
So how does D&O insurance factor into the M&A transaction?
It's a significant factor. D&O insurance provides critical protection to executives sued in these cases. These class actions are filed very quickly after a merger or acquisition. It doesn't leave much time to manage insurance issues. Directors and officers' liability insurance policies can provide key protection for executives involved in M&A litigation. However, coverage should be in place and carefully managed prior to the transaction in view of the speed and complexity of the litigation.
Scott, what are some of the features of the D&O policy for executives? How do they work?
Well, D&O policies are claims made and reported policies. This means they cover only claims first made and reported during the policy period. If the policy period or an extended reporting period ends, so too does the ability to report a claim or potential claim. Timely notice is even more of an issue in a merger and acquisition, because most D&O policies provide that a policy will automatically terminate if another entity acquires the bulk of the assets of the company, or if another person or company acquires the right to appoint more than a stated number of directors on the board. The policy stays in place until the end of the policy period, but only for reporting claims arising out of acts that took place prior to the acquisition. So it's critical to be aware of the policy term changes and notice requirements in the context of mergers and acquisitions. And if coverage for the director for pre-merger conduct ends at the expiration of the policy period, it is important to purchase an extended runoff period for pre-transaction acts.
Scott, what are some of the important considerations for directors and officers of a company when they're in the midst of an M&A transaction?
Directors and officers of the target company will need to become protected under the acquiring company's own D&O policy if they become executives of the acquiring company. The acquirer policy is needed to provide coverage for forward-moving acts in their capacity as executives of the acquirer. Additionally, most acquiring company policies will not provide coverage for directors and officers in their capacity as an executive of the target company prior to the merger or acquisition. Because of this, many companies will also buy, as I noted before, additional runoff insurance devoted to the directors and officers to protect them from lawsuits arising out of their actions with the target company. A few more points for consideration. The key to addressing D&O liabilities in an M&A context is to leave no ambiguities on the table. Post-transaction, the risk profile of the combined entity has changed, in some cases substantially. The threat of share price volatility in the months after a transaction closes typically is higher, possibly inciting shareholder or acquirer lawsuits against directors for misrepresentations, breaches of fiduciary duty, or violations of the securities laws. This increased financial exposure argues for accessing the services provided by an experienced D&O insurer.
Seth, are there any additional insurance or risk transfer solutions offered to companies who are involved in M&A activity?
There are. Let's look at legacy liability insurance. Legacy liability insurance also provides risk transfer solutions, absorbing successor liabilities for both retrospective and prospective claims arising from prior acts by the target company.
Can you define a legacy liability policy a little bit more?
A legacy liability policy is especially effective for severity-related product liability and general liability claims in both the primary or excess layers. The risk of future claims from discontinued products is addressed, and laser-like coverages for specific products that may pose a greater risk of potential hazards are also available. In addition, when considering inherent liabilities from global mergers and acquisitions, acquirers may want a Controlled Master Program, CMP. This addresses the potential inadequacies of the target company's local or admitted insurance policies issued. Are there certain international exclusions in the current program that need to be addressed? If so, the master insurance policy closes perceived gaps in coverages or financial limits, while at the same time maintaining the local insurance policies in force.
Are there any other insurance products or risk management solutions you wanted to mention?
Yes, in fact, there are two that work hand in hand with regard to transactional solutions and are often required in the purchase and sale agreement. The first is representation and warranties insurance. This is designed to indemnify the acquirer when the seller's representations and warranties prove inaccurate down the line. Some examples involve reps and warranties made around compliance with local regulations or the seller's inventory.
That's good. You mentioned two, so what's the second one?
That would be tax indemnity insurance.
And how does that work?
Tax indemnity insurance can be used to indemnify the insured for uncertain tax consequences related to the target company, including the tax treatment for the M&A transaction itself. In cases where there is a need to obtain such protection, this product is considered effective, as when the buyer has not procured or could not procure a private letter ruling from the IRS as to the tax treatment of the acquisition.
It's an awful lot to think about, Seth, and I understand you've expanded your transactional product offerings.
That's true. To respond to the increase in potential M&A activity, we will now be offering reps and warranties and tax indemnity coverage on a primary basis. This will provide the ability to serve private equity firms and strategic buyers that are now purchasing this coverage more frequently. This expanded transactional insurance coverage will be underwritten by Ace Professional Risk, Ace's U.S.-based professional lines division, in conjunction with our mergers and acquisitions insurance practice.
Thanks very much, Seth. Scott, do you have any final observations you'd like to add?
Yes. Adding to Seth's view of the M&A market, I'd like to take a minute to talk about due diligence. Private equity firms and strategic corporate deal makers are eager to complete deals quickly, but proper attention must be given to the wide range of post-transaction successor liabilities they may assume. These liabilities create the potential of unanticipated financial consequences. And when addressed, these may result in an acquisition or merger that costs more than is warranted, possibly inciting shareholder litigation. Risk managers should suggest assembling a deal team to review such potential liabilities. There are complexities involved in addressing a target company's D&O liabilities, environmental exposures, product risks, and other complex liabilities. Getting assistance from an insurance carrier that understands the M&A process is key. They have much of the know-how and resources you need and can help you identify the insurance solutions that are right for your company and for each deal. The right carrier takes a one-stop approach to ensuring M&A risks and liabilities. Responsiveness and service are never compromised. It works with you and for you and helps to close a transaction according to the timetable that's been set. This helps minimize the possibility of unexpected and uninsured post-transaction liabilities emerging at the 11th hour.
Seth, Bill, and Scott, as always, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
It was a great discussion.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this ACE USA podcast, and we'd like to remind you that the views expressed by Seth Gelston, Bill Hazelton, and Scott Meyer are their own and do not represent those of the ACE Group and do not constitute legal advice. Celebrating 25 years of insuring progress, the ACE Group is a global leader in insurance and reinsurance, serving a diverse group of clients. Headed by ACE Limited, on the New York Stock Exchange at the ticker symbol ACE, a component of the S&P 500 stock index, the ACE Group conducts its business on a worldwide basis with operating subsidiaries in more than 50 countries. Additional information can be found at acegroup.com. This program copyright 2011, the ACE Group, all rights reserved. For everyone at the ACE Group, this is Steve Lubetkin. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you out there on the net. Take good care.